Morning.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Put that on, I'll get you.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. Brother Aaron here said that even the young ladies here probably would have a hard time hearing me this morning because of the air conditioning. And first of all, I'm thankful for the air conditioning. Second of all, I came prepared. Brought a loudspeaker with me this morning, and I think most likely Aaron was talking about the young ladies over here, so I'm going to have to use this to, hopefully everyone can hear me over there, okay, well, it's going to be hard to use this and turn pages in my Bible at the same time, so I'm going to go with the microphone, I guess, sorry Art, but Art supplied that for me this morning. Yes. Okay, I'll see if I can turn this thing on here. Good.
Is that working now? Yeah, it's on. All right, it's turned on, and Aaron's trying to work on it there for me. Thankfully, I don't have to do that. I'll probably mess it up. I've got some handouts for everyone here this morning, and I'm going to hand them to you upside down so you don't cheat. This is a test. And you can flip it over if you want to. It's an honesty thing, though. So I don't know if you're prepared to do that or not. So we're going to talk about it before we look at it. Just one. All right. And Dan, I don't want to see that in the trash can this coming week when I come over. Alrighty. One or two? Two? Okay. Art, you want one? There you go. Alright. And then you guys, you can share with them. How about that? Okay. I feel like I'm talking through a cave here. I'm also a long ways away from you guys, but that's how it feels, I guess, being a teacher or whatever. Happened to me in school all the time. The teachers always said that, so it's okay. I'll move up here. Just to start this morning, I wanted to tell you guys a little story. Once upon a time, there was two guys walking along with each other down the pathway or wherever they were. It doesn't really matter. But they were talking to each other, and the one said to the other guy, he said, "If you're so religious, why don't you quote the Lord's Prayer to me? I bet you $10 you can't quote the Lord's Prayer without messing up." So the other guy thought a little bit, and he looked over at him and said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." The other guy looked at him, started pulling out his wallet, and pulled out a $10 bill and muttered, "I didn't think you could do it." Well, this isn't really a good example of what we should be probably as Christians and what our prayer life should be like, most likely. But hopefully this morning, you're probably starting to figure out what we're going to talk about. And the prayer of Jabez, actually another story, before we get started, moved the heart of missionary John Hyde. I don't know if any of you have heard about Praying Hyde, they called him. But he moved John Hyde to pray with great faith, expecting answers to his prayers. As a result, he became known as Praying Hyde, and the world still feels the impact of his powerful life. So Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman, he's a pastor back in the day there, he once wrote to a friend telling of Praying Hyde's power and his impact in his own life. And Dr. Chapman had been holding evangelistic meetings in England, and they hadn't been attended very well, and not many decisions were being made. And then he heard that Praying Hyde was going to pray for him and was going to pray down God's blessing on his ministry. So as a result of Hyde's powerful praying, the tide soon turned, and the meeting hall became packed with people. At Chapman's first public invitation, 50 men received Christ as their Savior. Relating to the story, Chapman said, as we were leaving, I said, "Mr. Hyde, I want you to pray for me." So Mr. Hyde accompanied him to his room, turned the key in the door, and dropped to his knees. waited 5 minutes without saying a single word. Mr. Chapman says, "I could hear my own heart thumping and his beating. I felt hot tears running down my face. I knew I was with God." Then, with upturned face, down with which tears were streaming, he said, "Oh God." Then for 5 minutes at least, he was still again. And then, when he knew that he was talking with God, there came from the depths of his heart such petitions for me as I had never heard before. I rose from my knees to know what real prayer was. Now, this is probably a better example of what we should be like when we pray as well in our own lives. But that's what we're going to look at this morning in Sunday school. And I was trying to get here on time this morning. I usually try to get to places on time. I made it with 3 minutes to spare. Then I came in and Dan said that the clock was 10 minutes late. So I think God was providing there for me. But I didn't want to get pulled over and have to use the excuse, "Hey, I'm trying to go preach somewhere, officer. Let me go." You know. So is the clock fixed? Then all right, we're good to go. So hopefully I won't go too far here. But I got some questions for you guys this morning, and we're going to look at a few different things about prayer and why we should pray, how we should pray, when we should pray, and different things like this. It's not a list that's complete by any means. I mean, it's just something that we can look at and hopefully we'll learn from, and all of us hopefully can become better prayer warriors because of it and become closer to God. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning is why pray. Why should we pray? Now, does anybody have any ideas? Without looking at your papers, I saw that. Now, not all the answers are on there, so you're fine. Why should we pray? Does anybody have any ideas why we should pray? Go ahead.
Communication with God, fellowship with God.
That's right. Very good. He talks to us through His Word. We talk to Him through prayer. Does anybody else have any ideas? Why should we pray?
Bible tells us
to. That's right. That's another good one. Yep, we should probably listen to what the Bible says. It's a good thing. Anybody else have any ideas? It's okay if you're wrong. We'll make fun of you. Few things. There's many reasons why we should pray. And we're going to look at a few of them this morning, starting with ones we just heard, actually. And you can look at your papers now. It's all right. And if you have a pen, you can fill in some of the blanks there. I made some blanks, and I actually filled them in last night. I was hoping they were big enough so you could write the whole word in there. I always hated that in school when the blank wasn't big enough. But why should we pray? First of all, just like Aaron said, it is commanded. You need another paper there?
Sure.
I got a bunch of them up here. Dan made a bunch.
If you'd like a stand, that'd be up front.
Sure, that'd be great.
You guys are sitting way back.
That'll work.
Good.
All right, now you guys have to pay attention. I'll catch you if you're sleeping. Yeah. So why pray? First of all, like Aaron said, it's commanded. And that's, I think, the first thing I have written down for you guys there. It is commanded. 1 Peter 4:7, that's the verse that's written down there. I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, "But the end of things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now, this verse is talking about the end of things. That means that Christ is coming soon. And this was written by Peter. So if he says Christ is coming soon, well, we should be, you know, looking for His return as well. The end of things is at hand. Be therefore sober. You know, be ready and watch unto prayer. We need to be praying because the Bible tells us that we need to be praying. We need to have that fellowship, and God knows that we need that fellowship with Him. And Peter warns us that the end is near when Christ will return as a thief in the night. This is the time when all our earthly work will be finished and we have to be ready for Christ's return. We must be ready at all times to give an account to God, whatever He, for our actions, because we do not know exactly when Jesus will come back. We have to be ready at all times. This verse tells us to be restrained, to be watchful, and to pray to God, to be focused on Him. That's our command, to pray to God. So what's another reason to pray to God? Why should we pray to God? as you said earlier, for fellowship with God as well. We need to talk to Him in prayer. The Bible is God's book where He communicates with us, and we communicate back to God through prayer. And somebody that is your friend, you hang out with them, you spend time with them, you talk to them, hopefully, when you're spending time with them. And somebody that you don't do those things with is not your friend. Now, Jesus is closer than a brother, right? And He's our very best friend. We should be spending time with Him. We should be communing with Him. We should have fellowship with Him as well. And for fellowship with God, that's one of the purposes of prayer. And in Matthew 21, verse 13, the verse I got written down there, that verse says, "And said unto them," Jesus said unto them, "is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." This is actually two Old Testament verses that he is quoting right here. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Now, when we come to God's house here, there's many things that we do. We praise God. We learn about Him from His Word. We also pray. And prayer is the main component to what we need to do to draw closer to God, to help others to see that we want to live for God as well, to pray to God, to put our faith in Him, to show our trust in Him as well. So if we want to be close to God, we must speak to Him. God has given us a great way to communicate with Him, and that's prayer. Jesus said in this passage that the place where people worship God should be a house of prayer. And they made it a den of thieves. They were selling and buying different things that had no heavenly value. Church is where we worship and have fellowship with God. I got a lot of verses that we're going to look at this morning. If it's all right with you guys, maybe some people could read them for us. And then we won't all have to look them up. So can we just start and go around the room? Is that all right with everybody? No? Yeah? Okay. I guess so. Yeah. We'll just have to... It's mandatory, all right?
He's a great volunteer.
All right. Dan, you could look up Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And Grandma, if you'd like to volunteer as well. John 15, verse 5. You guys do have your Bibles this morning. Okay, good. And if I could just keep going here. Matthew 21, verse 22, if you could look that up. If anybody needs them repeated, I can do that. Psalm 102, verse 17. And we'll go back to the back corner here, Art. Could you look up Proverbs 15:29, please? All righty. That'll get us started, at least. We'll continue when we get to that point. What's that?
What was the first one?
The first one was Luke 6, verse 12. Dan's reading that. So. Here, I'll get another one for you. You're chomping at the bit. I like that. That's good. Could you look up Acts 3, 1? Acts 3, verse 1. Okay, Dan, if you're ready for Luke 6, verse 12 there.
"And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God."
Alright, this is talking about Jesus, of course, and I'm sure all of you figured that out. But have you ever thought about why did he pray to God so much? After all, he's part of the triune, right? The three in one, Jesus is God. Why was he praying to God so much, you know? Why? Another question, why was he baptized? You know, he didn't really have to do that, did he? But he made an example, and I think that's what was taking place here as well. Right before, this verse here comes right before he chose the 12 disciples. And I think that he is showing us a model for prayer, that we should take decisions seriously and that we need to be praying about those decisions. Just as he prayed all night long, I don't know if anybody in here has done that. I mean, if you have, everybody, you're holier than everybody else probably. I've never done that. I've prayed for a long time, but I've never prayed all night. So that is an amazing thing that I think Jesus was showing us, that we need to pray. We need to take decisions seriously and ask God for wisdom when we have decisions coming up. Jesus spent all night in prayer to God, who was his Father. If Jesus prayed to the Father this much, and he is part of the Trinity, how much more should we fellowship with our Heavenly Father in prayer as well? So I think this is teaching us that we should even more so, we need, even more so than Christ did, we need wisdom in our decision making, even in the small decisions. And God is interested in the small decisions as well. We need to pray to him and get wisdom from God. Another reason that we should pray to God, why should we pray? To affirm our dependence on him. And I don't know if everybody got the last one, for fellowship with God. I don't know if I skipped that or not. Sorry if I did. This one is to affirm our dependence on him. And we're going to look at John 15, verse 5. If you're ready to read that, we're ready to hear it.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
All right, very good. And in this whole chapter there, Christ is using the illustration of the vine and the branches, obviously. But in the Old Testament, mostly the vine is compared to Israel. But here, Christ is saying he is the vine and we are the branches. And the branches that are not bearing fruit, those are the ones that are saying, oh, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm part of this, you know. But they're not really. Those will be cut off. But the ones that are bearing fruit, by your fruits you shall know them, those are the ones that are with Christ, that are in communion with Christ, that are saved. And hopefully we are those people this morning as well. So he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, without Christ, we can do nothing. We can't do anything on our own. I don't know if you've ever tried to do everything on your own, like a certain project or something. Many things came up for me like that in school. And I would try to, I'd have a project due the very next day or something, and I'd be working on it all night, something like that. And it's just frustrating and wouldn't be getting anything done. The computer would freeze up, you know, the internet wasn't working, or, you know, the books I had weren't the right ones, or different things like that came up. Well, that's because I was trying to do it in my own strength. And when I trusted in God, when I put my faith in him, when I said, okay, God, I can't do anything. I need to trust you for this. You need to help me through this time. I need to depend on you. That was when I could really get things done. And that's for everything in our lives. We shouldn't be trying to do everything on our own. If we do that, we'll fail. But just as it says here, without me, you can do nothing. And Christ wants us to affirm our dependence on him. He wants us to put all our faith in him and not try to put our faith in ourselves, because we will fail. Praying to God helps us realize our dependence on him. It also lets God know, and those around us as well, that we're putting our faith in him. We don't have it all figured out. God does, and we need him. So we need to pray because we need to put our faith in God. We need to put our dependence on him. So why else do we need to pray this morning? We need to pray to receive things from God, right? God's not Santa Claus or anything like that. We don't want to just pray to have requests before him. But we do need to pray to ask him for things, because to ask, when we ask, we will receive. With God, all things are possible. So Matthew 21, verse 22.
In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive.
All right, very good. And that right there, that passage is talking about the fig tree, where Jesus cursed the fig tree, actually. And we're going to talk about that a little later here this morning. But the disciples were surprised that it was dead, you know. And Christ said, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So we have to believe in him. We have to believe in what we're saying that God will actually come through and do the thing that we've asked. We have to pray to receive things from God. James 4:2 says, "You have not because ye ask not." If we don't ask, God doesn't have the obligation to give us anything. He can give us things, and He will give us things anyways. But if we don't ask for certain things, what if there's a big struggle in your life, or there's something that is a void that you want to be filled, or just something that you've been going through for a long time? Have you ever thought about talking to God about that? Who's the first person that you go to? Do you go to your friends, your family members, your husband or wife? God should be the first one we go to with our problems. "You have not because ye ask not." Matthew 21:22 tells us, whatever we ask for in prayer, while believing, we will receive it. When we have a need or someone is going through a hard time, we need to go to God in prayer and ask Him for help, because He will give it to us. We go to other people and ask for help. Sometimes they'll give it to us, sometimes not. But, you know, is that the most important help that we'll receive? The best help that we'll receive is from God. So we need to go to Him to receive things. We also need to pray, we need to pray to God because He will hear us. Because God will hear us. Why pray to God? Because He will hear us. A lot of other people, you know, sometimes they'll listen, sometimes they won't. You know, it depends on the day probably, or whatever they're going through as well. God will always hear us. He's always there for us. And especially when we're in the right relationship with Him, when we've confessed all our sins, He will listen to us. He will hear us. Psalm 102:17 says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." David here was going through, you know, David went through many struggles in his life, and you can see that from the Psalms. But the Psalms are very uplifting as well. And this verse here is just that. It says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute." If we are struggling with something, God will hear us, and He will not despise their prayer. You know, when sometimes people are going through different difficulties, and we've seen them go through these things before, and we've gone through them before, and they aren't taking it with the right attitude, we get kind of tired of them, you know? It's like, come on, man up, you know? Get through this. I've got through it. You can too, you know? Well, God's not like that. He's with us at all times. He's always listening for us, and He will not despise our prayer. When we're going through a struggle, we can pray to Him, and He'll always be there for us. He's a loving God. He cares for us. Proverbs 15:29.
"The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous."
All right, very good. The Lord is far from the wicked. If we're in sin, if we're not even saved, God has no obligation to listen to our prayer. He can listen to the prayer of the unsaved. He can listen to the prayer of somebody that is in sin and is saved. But He has no obligation to do that. The Lord is far from that. He is far from sin. He can't look on sin. He's a holy God. But what He does is He hears the prayer of the righteous. If we're in the right relationship with Him, if we're seeking to serve Him with all our lives and all of our hearts, we've confessed all our sins, God will hear us, and He will answer our prayer. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So, hopefully that'll help us a little bit in the question of why should we pray. Let's also look at when to pray. There's a lot of verses mentioned in the Bible about when we should be praying, and we'll just look at a few this morning. The first thing there that I have written down, like I said before, this isn't a list that's totally everything, but it's just some things that will point out some helpful tips to us, hopefully. We need to pray at set times and in church. At set times and in church. And if you could read Acts 3:1 when you're ready there. Yeah, go for it.
"Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour of the Hebrew month."
That's right. You're exactly right. I was just going to mention that. But she beat me to the punchline. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was actually 3 different times that was the time of prayer in the Jewish calendar there. Do you know the other two? There was 3 times during the day that they always prayed.
Morning, noon, night.
Very good. Yep. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3. So the Jews always had times where they were coming to the temple and praying. And the New Testament records many instances of people praying in the temple. Zacharias prayed when the angel appeared to him in the temple and told him that his prayer was going to be answered. In this verse, Peter and John were praying in the temple at the Jewish hour of prayer, 3 o'clock. Now, we can gather from this verse and others that we should set apart specific times to pray. And we need to pray in church, obviously, but we also need to pray at set times. If we don't make a priority for prayer in our lives, if we don't make time for prayer, we'll forget, most likely. We're human, we're still owned by the flesh at times. I mean, the flesh still tempts us, and our own desires take over. But we don't realize it, but we need God at every time in our lives. So we need to set apart times for prayer. It's easy to forget to pray if we don't have set times put aside. We should also pray when we go to church. In the Bible, the temple was a place where people went and worshiped God. And we worship God today in churches, and we can worship by praising God and our songs, and also by praising Him in our prayer and trusting Him. It's another way to worship God as well. When to pray. Set times and in church, we also should pray regularly. Pray regularly. And I guess that kind of goes along with set times. But we're going to look at a couple more verses here about that as well. And what time do we usually go to here for Sunday school ending? Okay. Just until it gets up to the top there, I guess. Alrighty. Not used to reading those old clocks. But I have to remember from school. I don't got too many pages left, don't worry. We need to pray regularly. And if I could have a few more people read some verses here, that'd be awesome. All right, we'll start with you. Romans 12, verse 12. If you could look that up, we're going to skip one and go to Aaron, if you could read Ephesians 6, verse 18. And I don't know everybody's names, but would you mind reading as well? Paul? Okay. James 5:16. What's that? Did you just wake up? yeah, if you could read James 5, verse 16. Yeah, if you could look that up for us, it'll be in a couple minutes here. And we will continue when we get there. You got Romans 12:12 ready? Okay.
Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful.
Okay, very good. Always be prayerful. Continuing instant in prayer. Always be praying to God. It says rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We need to be enduring when we're going through hard times, but always praying. Continuing instant in prayer. And there's a note in my Bible that pointed to Acts 2:42 as well. Being instant in prayer, the apostles prayed together in Acts 2:42. And they were instant in prayer as well. They prayed always. So does that mean that we should, at all times throughout the day, at every second, be praying to God? Yes or no?
Can.
We could be, I guess. That'd be kind of hard to do. I don't think that's the exact reference there, but I think it is teaching us that we should always be in an attitude where we can pray to God. We should always be in a position where we can pray to God. Have you ever been doing something and right in the middle of it, you're like, what if God were sitting right here beside me? You know, what would He say about this? And you're kind of getting convicted. Well, in that time right there, it's probably not a time where we really feel like praying to God, right? And if we are praying, we're asking forgiveness. So, you know what I mean when I say we always need to be in an attitude where we can pray to God. We always need to be in communion with Him. I'll read Psalm 88, verse 13. It says, but unto Thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer shall prevent Thee. That's another Psalm of David there. He says, I have cried to You before, Lord, and in the morning my prayer shall come to thee. So he already has a set time as well where he goes to God in prayer. And in the morning, his prayer will come to God, he says there in Psalms. So we need to do that as well. We need to pray regularly. If we're hit and miss in our prayer life, we most likely will not be close to God in our relationship with him. But if we take time each day at certain times, take them, these times set apart from all distractions, and commune with God, just us and God, he will reward that, and he will listen to the prayer of the righteous man. From that, we'll even want to spend more time with him. Our going to God in prayer each day at multiple times helps us to stay focused on him and also corrects our perspective so we focus on eternal things more. So when do we need to pray? We also need to pray whenever there is an opportunity. We should pray whenever there is an opportunity to pray. And this kind of goes along with being instant in prayer, praying always. Ephesians 6:18, if you could read that.
Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
All right, very good. So it's praying always. That shows us the frequency of when we should pray. With all prayer and supplication, the variety, we should pray different prayers at different times. In the Spirit, we need to be submitted to him and what his will is for that time and what our requests are. And watching thereunto, that's the manner in which we're praying. We need to be devoted to what we're talking about, to what we're asking about. With all perseverance, persistence, we need to keep on asking, and supplication for all the saints. And that's who we're praying for. That's who that verse is talking about. And this verse pretty much sums up everything that we're talking about this morning. This verse carries the idea of praying in every season or wherever there's an opportunity to pray. We should want to talk to God at any time, and we should be willing and ready to go to him when we have a need or just to talk to him. God doesn't mind if we just want to talk to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to pray to him whenever we have an opportunity to. And supplication there is a specific kind of prayer. It's a pleading or imploring God for a certain request. We need to do that as well. God will respect that prayer. So we need to pray when there is an opportunity to pray. We also need to pray when there is any problem. When any problem arises, we need to pray when there is a problem. Philippians 4, verse 6. I don't know who I had. Could you read that?
My heart.
You read it again? All right.
Philippians 4, 6.
Oh,
be careful for nothing, but in prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds.
All right, very good. She didn't have to use her Bible there. That's awesome. Thank you. And you went ahead and went with verse 7 too. That's great. Be careful for nothing, just like she quoted there. Don't be anxious for anything. We tend to worry about things many times, even preaching here or doing Sunday school or something. Sometimes, you know, when you're speaking in front of people, you get nervous or different things like that. God says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be nervous about anything. Don't worry. Worry is a sin, actually. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, even the small things, we need to pray to God with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thank God for what he's actually given us. He's given us so much already. He's given us his gift of salvation. And he's given us life and breath. He's given us health and the ability to be here this morning. He's given us that opportunity. He's given us our minds, our faculties, to be able to think and to reason. And he's given us so much. So we need to thank him for what he's given us already. But also, we can let our requests be made known unto God. Instead of worrying, we need to go to God. Let our requests be made known unto him, and he will answer us. The Bible says, cast all your burdens upon him. So this verse tells us that we should not be anxious or suspicious about any issue, but that we should take these issues to God in prayer. That's what we need to do when we have hard times. Go to God in prayer. God doesn't want us to worry about anything, but to bring our requests to him, place our trust in his all-powerful strength. It also says that in everything we can pray and make requests to God. Even the small things God is interested in our lives. And He wants us to bring those before Him. He doesn't want us to say, oh, He's too busy, or oh, I can get through this on my own. No, God wants us to pray to Him through everything. It's wonderful to know that we have a God who cares for us and is interested in even the small things that are going on in our lives. So we need to pray when there is any problem. We also need to pray when others have need of prayer. That's the next thing we'll look at. We need to pray when others have need of prayer. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Did I take your verse from you? I'm sorry. You can take the next one if you want. Is that all right with you? Matthew 21:22 there. I won't offend you if I do that, will I? Okay, James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, if we confess our sins, confess our faults to one another, confess to God as well, we need to pray for one another as well. That builds each other up. It's encouraging to hear brothers and sisters in Christ pray to God and pray for each other. You know, I appreciate when people pray for me, and I know others do when I pray for them as well. It's encouraging to even hear that, because you know that God is working, and that ye may be healed. Those that are sick, you know, Jesus is the great physician, right? We have doctors and physicians and nurses nowadays. My sister's a nurse. But the only thing that will work will be if God is in it. And God is the great physician. We need to be praying to Him that He will guide them, and He can heal anything, any disease, anybody. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's an amazing thing, that God will listen to us, and that He will actually act because of our requests. This verse tells us to pray for each other, that each other will be healed. God wants us to go to Him when our friends or loved ones are sick or not feeling well, or different things are going on in their lives. Jesus is the great physician. He will heal anyone as long as it's within His will. We must pray for others and trust God for the results. God allows people to be sick sometimes to test their faith, to test our faith as well. But He can heal anyone. He can heal any disease. So we need to trust Him and pray to Him about that. So we looked at when to pray, we looked at why to pray, and now, finally, the last 5 minutes here, everybody's like, we're almost done, finally. We're going to look at how to pray. And I'm sure most of you in here have prayed before, but there's some different verses that we're going to look at that will let us know how specifically we need to pray and how God wants us to pray. Matthew 21, verse 22.
Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive.
All right, thank you. Very good. So all things, whatever we ask in prayer, if we believe, we will receive them. Now, does everybody believe that verse there this morning? That's a pretty amazing verse, isn't it? This is the statement that we looked at before that Christ made right after He cursed the fig tree. And I don't know if And if you remember this story, probably most of you do, but Christ and the disciples were walking along one day, and they went up to a fig tree, and there wasn't any figs on it. And Christ cursed the fig tree, and they later came by that tree the same day, and the disciples were surprised that it was dead, that it didn't have any, you know, it was obviously dying, and it was all shriveled up. And Jesus then told them that if they have faith, the disciples could do even more than kill a fig tree. They could move mountains. They could say to this mountain, be taken up and be moved into the sea. He said that whatever we ask in prayer, if we believe, have faith in God, that He will do it, we will receive our request. And that's an amazing promise right there. And I think many times, if we don't believe this verse personally in our lives, it's just because we're not mature enough in Christ. That we don't realize that God will actually do what He says. And this is a promise that we can claim for ourselves. God will do things if we ask in faith. As long as we are in His will and we are listening to His Spirit guiding our hearts, He will give us what we ask for. So how to pray? We need to pray believing. We also need to pray in the will of God with persistence. We need to pray in the will of God with persistence. Luke 22:41-42. I'll just read it off here. You guys can look it up if you want to. Luke 22:41-42 says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now everyone in here notices that this is taking place in the Garden of Gethsemane right before Jesus is taken to be crucified, well, taken to be tried and then crucified later. But Christ is praying to his own Father, and he's saying, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that's something that we need to pray at all times when we have requests that are on our hearts as well. When we have burdens, we need to pray to God and say, this is what I think would be your will, and this is what I desire, and this is what I want. But if it's not, may your will be done, and may my heart be changed to agree with that as well. Jesus and the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane there, and Jesus went aside and was praying by himself. The disciples fell asleep. It's another part of that story that is kind of odd. But, something that's challenging to us as well. We shouldn't fall asleep when we're praying, you know. Don't pray when you're laying in bed. You know, you could fall asleep and you won't get everything said that you need to, probably. I've done that before. But we need to focus on what we're praying, and God will listen to us. Jesus was focused on what he was praying, and that is exactly how we should pray to God as well. We should realize that his way is best, and we should agree with whatever he does. So Acts 12:5, the last verse we're going to look at, I think, this morning. Yep. Acts 12, verse 5 says, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison," and this is a story most of you have heard before as well in Sunday school, "but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." So apparently we're supposed to be done. The lights are going out. But I'll just finish up real quick here. The verse is talking about when Peter was in prison. We all know that. And the church was praying for him, and the angel came and released him, and he went back to the church where they were praying for him, and they were all... The girl that opened the door for him was really surprised, and she didn't even let him in. She just went and told the others. She was so surprised. But why were they surprised, you know? If they were praying in faith, but it's easy to accuse them, right? We do the same things. If we ask for something in our lives and God actually answers, we're surprised sometimes. Well, we shouldn't be. We should be thankful for what God has done, of course, but we shouldn't be surprised because we know God will answer our requests. Just going to finish up with a little poem here for you guys. I don't know if you like poetry. I never really did, but I'm really getting into it now. It's just a poem about prayer that'll maybe help us remember what we've talked about this morning. "The proper way for man to pray," said Deacon Lemuel Keyes. I don't know why they have weird names here, but they do. The only proper attitude is down upon his knees. "Nay, I should say the way to pray," said Reverend Dr. Wise, "is standing straight with outstretched arms, with rapt and upturned eyes." "Oh, no, no, no," said Elder Snow. "Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground." "I don't know how you do that," said Dr. Reverend Blunt. "Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well head first," said Cyril Brown, "with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I done prayed right there, right then and there, prayer I've ever said. The prainest prayer I've ever prayed, standing on my head." So, just to sum everything up, it doesn't matter how we're praying or where we're praying or what position we're in when we're praying. It matters that we do pray, and we can trust God because He will listen to us, and He will hear our prayer. So I guess we'll go to church. We're already at church, but... Yep, no problem. I guess I should have ended in prayer since we're talking about prayer, right? I guess, yeah. Well, I guess we'll go for it, huh? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank You again for this day and for everything You've given us so far, the health and the safety coming here, and thank You for everyone that made it out to church. And I just thank You for Your Word and how You've taught us to pray. I pray that You would help us to pray more and to realize that prayer does things, and that You will listen to us and You'll hear our cry. I pray that You just give us a good day today, help us to honor You, to point others to You as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Yep.
We'll start the service at 10 after.